It's on page Kuf Mem Aleph. Page Kuf Mem Aleph. Here you go. Page Kuf Mem Aleph. We learn the halachas of Kriya Satora. Yutes halacha Yutes. Tzarich kol ha'oile likrois l'chalapachos skimul psukim. When one gets an aliyah, you must read a minimum of three psukim. This is critical. If you don't read three psukim, lo yatsa. We're going to see you have to do the aliyah all over again. There's another condition. You have to learn each one Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. Each person who gets the aliyah must learn three psukim, and you must learn in total 10 psukim. So, what is the obvious question? We have a mathematician here. So, what's going on? The answer is you have to learn for one person four psukim. Each one must learn a minimum of three psukim. You can divide up however you like. You can divide up, you can give the first one four and the second two three, or you can give the middle one four, the last one, whatever you want to do, you can do, but you must learn at least a total of 10 psukim, because it has to be a significant portion of the Torah. Why 10? Why 10 psukim? So the commentators explain it corresponds to the Aseres Hadibrois, or it corresponds to the Asara Mamoros Shenivra Ha'olam. So you must learn at least 10 psukim, and each oila must learn at least 3 psukim. Tzach kol ha'oila likwas l'chol poskim g'musukim v'shem v'chemishu v'shem v'shem v'semincha tzichim likwas l'chulam l'chol pachos asar psukim v'yesh likwas l'ashlishi dalit psukim. And the fourth, so he said that I think the thing b'lechatchila, you should give the four psukim to the Yisrael. You start 3-3, and the third one should get 4. Uvidiyaved imkar l'kulam elatas psukim. Let's say you make a mistake. I guess this was before the printed chumashim. Today everything is so standardized, you need not even have to worry. It seems like in ancient times, they weren't so makpid like we were, how to break up Monday and Thursday. Every day, Monday and Thursday, it's in the Siddur. You learn 3 psukim, and it says, Levi, Yisrael, and if you stop at the wrong pasuk, what happens? Everyone screams. Why is everyone screaming?
He says he did that the other week.
What? Why are everyone screaming? Don't scream. It doesn't say anywhere where to stop. If you're learning Monday and Thursday, let's say like this week's parish Kisava. Hey, how many psukim do you learn? Much more than 10 psukim. And let's say the Baal Kori makes a mistake. This Per Shabbos Mincha, I was Dav Mincha. So Baal Kori made a mistake and he stopped in the wrong place. Everyone was screaming, go weiter, keep on going. You don't have to keep on going. Why should you embarrass him? Doesn't say anywhere where you have to stop. As long as you have read 3 psukim, and as long as in total you're going to read 10 psukim, it's okay. So the Baal Kori stopped in the wrong place, big deal. Just because in your sitter it says this is where, because this is a minig where you stop, but it's not necessarily makev, and if you're going to embarrass the Baal Kori, mikra, then you don't have to, he doesn't have to stop. Okay, today people don't look at it like that, because today everything has been so standardized, and it's printed in the Siddurim.
The Sedras are in the standardized.
That's right. The Sedras are definitely standard. That's already been standardized for 1,000 years. That already has much more significance. The Parsha, there are 54 Parshios. There are 50, now it says in the Zohar that there are 53 parshios. Gan means a garden. Gan is Gimel Nun. Gimel is 3, Nun is 50. 53 parshios. So if you'll ask a person how many parshios, you're really supposed to say there are 53 parshios. But in actuality, there are 54 parshios. And there's a lot of different interpretations of how you reconcile the tradition we have in Chazal that there are 53, when in actuality we have 54. But that's something that's just much more significant. However, the where you come to an end, the aliyos, that already is not so simple. And again, today it's standardized. Where is the end of Risha and Sheni, Shlish, Revi? But it's not necessary, it's not Mukhruch. And if you stop at the wrong place, it's no big deal. to break up the aliyahs in different places. Okay, today you're not going to play around today because it's been pretty standardized, but certainly Monday and Thursday it's even less. Where you stop, the only thing that's important is to lay in at least 3 psukim for each person, and in total to lay in 10. Bidiyavid. If you only lay 9 psukim in total, 3, 3, and 3, yatsa bidiyavid. That's what it says here in your test. Im kar lukulam el test psukim, shlosh lukulach yatsu. Uvi purim, shein karin lukulam el test psukim. What about purim? Yes, in Akasha. On purim, we lay in the parasha of Ayavo Amalek. We lay in 3, 3, 3. How come? Zemishum disolik in yana. You know why that's good? Because it's one complete section. You have the same concept by the Haftorah. Haftorah is supposed to lay in 21 psukim, corresponding to the 7 aliyah. We're in 3 psukim for each aliyah. So 7 times 3 is 21. So you must lay in at least 21 psukim in the Navi for the Haftorah. The exception is, if the section that you're laying from in the Navi is a complete inyan in and of itself, even if it's less than 21 psukim, it's okay. What's an example of this? Last week, I believe, Parashas Kiseitse, if you count the psukim, it is less than 21 psukim. Only 10 psukim? No, it's a little bit more, whatever it is. But it's because since it's one complete section, that is okay. We have the same exact concept when it comes to learning of the Torah. The only time we have this is only once a year. On Purim, you're laying only 9 psukim because the parashah of Amalek is a complete section by itself. Okay, let's see. Let's go further. Halacha Chaf. Ha-Koyre Ba-Torah. Lo yisayim makom shlo yishoher misham ad haparsha dehainu psucho istuma gimel psukim lachlapachas. Now first let's clarify the terminology. We call a parsha a sedra. It's not really a parsha. We call a parsha. It's not really a parsha. It's called a sidra. Kedusha de sidra. It's called a sedra. An arrangement. A seder. In every this week parshas kisavo, how many parshios are in the sedra of Kisavo? I don't know, 10, 15, 20, whatever it is. There's psuchos and stumos. Anytime you have a break of 9 letters and the text continues at the end of the line, the text ends in the middle, the beginning of the line, in the middle, and then there's a blank space in the center and the text picks up at the end of the line, that is called the parsha stuma. Whenever you come to an end of a paragraph and you begin on the beginning of the next line, there's no indentation in the Torah. That's only in English. You indent. On the web, you know, interesting, on the web, the style is there's no indentation. That's a standard, very interesting, going back to ancient times. There's no indentation in the beginning of a new paragraph when you have an online document. But in the Sefer Torah, when you begin on a new line, and before the new line, there's a blank space of at least 9 letters above. In the previous line, that's called the Parsha Pesucha. So there's a Parsha Pesucha, Parsha Stuma. When you're laning, you're not allowed to finish your Aliyah if there are only 2 Psukim left until the next Parsha Pesucha or the Parsha Stuma. So you have, that's a very important condition in laning. You have to, if you want to stop in the middle of a paragraph, fine, go right ahead. Provided you have already laned 3 psukim, provided that you've already laned in the parsha itself 3 psukim, we have yet to learn that in a few moments, and provided that there are at least 3 psukim left until the end of the parsha, and number 4, make sure you're not in the middle of a bad event. You're not allowed to stop in a place which mentions something bad, someone died, or a person did an avera. 4 conditions where you are allowed to stop. Number 1, you must have already lain 3 psukim. Number 2, you must have already lain 3 psukim into this particular parsha, meaning a parsha psukha, parsha stuma. Number 3, there must be at least 3 psukim left until the end of this parsha. Number 4, or you could stop at the very end if you want, but if you could stop in the middle of the paragraph, there must be at least 3 psukim left in the parasha. Number 4, make sure there's nothing bad where at this point where you're coming to an end. Vayamos terach bicharon, is that called bad? That's a very good point. So why is it not called bad? Terach, as I'll say, that Terach also was not such a bad person. Terach was out of his own, but did the truth at the end of his life. We don't know. Okay, but you say Kaddish for him.
You say Kaddish.
You say Kaddish. You say Kaddish for a guy. Vayamas terach bicharon, yiskadal v'yiskadash shnei rabba.
But it's not the biggest tragedy.
When we were kids, we used to call them sedras. Did you say the
sedra? The sedra, exactly, right?
When you,
right, that's right. The parasha is only a parasha of psuch, a parasha of stuma. So let's see again one more time. Halachaf, hakar b'tara lo yisayim b'bim mokan. Shlo yishra b'mishem ala parasha d'haynu psuch, oi stuma gimel psukim. Olichol ha-pachos. You have to have at least three psukim left. The imkvar berach, let's say you made a mistake. Person is laning and he stops, and there are only two psukim left until the parasha psukh stuma. And the person got the aliyah made the baruch, asher nosan lanu taras emes. And now you're calling a person for the next aliyah. So what do? Does the next aliyah start when there are only two psukim left in the parasha, or does he have to go back? V'im kvar berach liachar shesim pachas migul psukim some of the parasha akoriacharov. Just pick up where you left off. It's not a mila to repeat psukim. You don't have to repeat a pasuk. You should not do so. It's a very interesting thing you learn from this halacha, and it's not a good thing to repeat psukim. That's why generally there's a very big debate among Balei Kriya and among people in the tzibur when the Baal Kriya makes a mistake. Let's say they don't catch him until he finishes the aliyah. We always have this problem. So they met Elaine. And then there's always a guy in the audience, you know, that's always a mafunik. And he comes over to the balkore after the aliyah is over. I think you said the word wrong. It's not bo, it's ba. According to my understanding, it's ma'ake, because if you say like this, it means this, and like this, it means that. So I demand that you go back, and you go back in the next aliyah, go back to that pasuk and start from there, and then go. So is that the right thing to do? So some people will tell you yes, go right ahead, go back over. And others will say no. It's not. It's if you want to catch the Baal Kori for a mistake
on the spot.
Once you miss it and they finish the aliyah, you don't go back. Oh, but you weren't yoytze that word, so you weren't yoytze that word. It's not a perfect world. Everything in the world is perfect. So you missed out. What's the raya that it's not a good idea to go back? You see from this halacha over here, you see at least a little bit of a hint that it's not a mila to repeat the sukkim, to go back and repeat. Here we have a situation. It's really a very big problem. This is a very big problem. You lane, and the person stops laning when there are two psukim left at the end of the parasha. You're not allowed to start laning two psukim before the end of the parasha. And you're not allowed to end two psukim before the parasha. But that a mistake was made. Now you have to start a new aliyah. You can easily resolve the problem for the next oiler by going back one pasuk, and that way you will begin laning three psukim before the parasha ends. Yet the kids of Paskin, it's not a good thing to do. It's not a mila to repeat psukim, and do not go back. Let the new oiler start two psukim before the end of the parasha. You see a little hint in the flavor of the halacha, how you could apply it in other situations. I had a maisa once where it was a big parasha, big aliyah, and I came to the end of the aliyah. It's a whole column, and a guy comes over and he says to me, "I made a mistake in a certain word," and he tells me that I said exactly that case. I said bi instead of ba. I don't know what the word was. And he tells me it's ma'akev. I said, okay, fine. Go back and lane it over. It was laning over a whole column. And there was a big crowd. It wasn't like just 10 people. There were like 50 people present. So I look at him, I say to him, "Listen, you know, I'm not the rabbi here. Yes, whatever the rabbi says, I'll do. Go to the rabbi, tell the rabbi." So he goes to the rabbi. I'm going to leave the story. He goes to the rabbi. The rabbi hears, and the rabbi is looking at me. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, I'm waiting for the signal. What do you want? You want me to go back? I'll go back. You don't want me to go back? I won't go back. I'm waiting for the signal. And in the meantime, the gabbai is oblivious to this whole thing that's going on. And he makes the mishaberach for the person that got the aliyah.
Does he call up the next guy?
He calls up the next guy. And the next guy comes up. And the next guy ready is making the bracha. And I'm looking, and this guy is arguing with the rabbi. He's giving the rabbi a really hard time. And
what
I see.
Place did you show him?
What?
What place did you speak? You told us about cars to show him.
I showed him. No, that wasn't. That's not the child of a place.
The words. You said you mispronounced.
No, so I showed him, I saw the signal was not coming. He was ready for the Aliyah. I showed him the next Aliyah because I was looking at the, I was staring at the rabbi, waiting for the signal to land again. Not. And the rabbi basically is brushing off this guy. Rabbi was a very polished political person. He hears, and he gets the rabbis of the opinion like, yeah, so he made a mistake. So that's it. Like, he made a mistake. It's too late to rectify the mistake. That's how the rabbi basically felt about it. I think that's what he felt about it.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not a change in the interpretation.
Sometimes.
So maybe it is. He claims it is. No, so he claims that it is. He claims that it was. That's what this person is a very knowledgeable person. He's a very tough guy. He's very knowledgeable. And he claims it was a mistake. That's what he said to me. He said to me, you made a mistake. You said this word. He tested me. He comes over to me between the aliyahs and he says, he tested me, and I said the wrong thing, obviously. He said, oh, you said the wrong word. It's supposed to be like this, not like that. So I said, okay, fine, you got me. So what do you want me to do? I want you to go back. It wasn't going back one pasuk, going back literally a whole column going back.
What was wrong with the whole pasuk?
You want
to do the whole Aliyah? He wanted you to do the whole Aliyah?
Yeah. He wanted that I should go back to the next Aliyah. I should go back to the place where I had the Pasuk where I made a mistake and read that Pasuk. And from that Pasuk, you go over and you go forward. Now, normally, if you go back, you don't just read that one Pasuk and then skip to where you're up to. You go in order, which is not so simple. I'll tell you in a moment that's not so simple. But I told you, I said to him, listen, you're asking me to do something that's ridiculous. No one here caught me. No one here said boo. No, either not paying attention or it doesn't make a difference. And I'm not going back. If you want me to go back, then tell the rabbi. It's the rabbi's school. It's his show. Ask the rabbi. See what the rabbi says. The rabbi tells him to go back. I'll go back. So he goes to the rabbi. Very quickly, he tells the rabbi what happens, and he's arguing with the rabbi. In the meantime, the rabbi is making the mishpech for the person that got the aliyah. He's calling a new person. I'm looking at the rabbi. The rabbi basically says, leave me alone, sure, you're not going back. The signal, but the rabbi was very polished. The rabbi just was basically like, was just stalling, was stonewalling him. Is that the word? We're just stalling. And they called the aliyah. So the guy was furious. I couldn't believe this. So I lay further. And the person was shocked. He was really shocked that the rabbi did not listen to him. The rabbi just basically pushed him off. He was so insulted. So he did something that is usur. That is, he's telling me that I made a mistake. You know, even that was usur chotar akula. He walked out in protest in the middle of the laning, which is usur. It's an usur gomer to walk out in the middle of laning in front of everyone in protest. All right. I didn't think anything of this. I would have forgot about the whole story. It's not for what happened next. There was a kiddush. Okay, there was a kiddush later that day.
Kiddush he came back for.
So he came back for he came back for the kiddush. He didn't come back to eat. He didn't come back. He came back to get. He came back to argue. So I kept my mouth shut. I came back. Comes back. So I said to him, I was very polite. Okay, unusual for me to control myself. This is an unusual moment for me. I used to tell you, he's talking. So I said, listen, I have no problem. You're right. I made a mistake. You're right. It's ma'akev. But it's not my call. You're telling me to do something to read a whole column again. It looks very strange. And probably in the process of going back and reading the whole column, I'll make more mistakes. I'll make new mistakes. There's no end to it. So I said to him, it's the rabbi's call. Speak to the rabbi. Don't have time to see me. So he says to me, the rabbi is an Am Ha'aretz. So when he said that, my jaw dropped. My jaw dropped. I said, this guy's a quack.
He's out.
He saw right away that my jaw dropped. So he said, I mean in diktok. He said, very tough, but I don't mean it like that. But the damage was done. And that was it. I just went in another direction. Then afterwards, I asked different experts about this question. Let's say, Taki, you make a real mistake. Exactly this question. You make it. And it appears there are different opinions. It's not so simple. There appears that there are opinions that if you really make a mistake and you only catch it later on, There is such a thing to go back. And also, someone else told me something else that's very interesting, because there is also such a thing, I never knew this, he showed me in Mishnah Berurah, there is such a thing just to go back and read that pasuk, not to read everything all over again. You go back and read that pasuk that you made the mistake, and then skip to where you're up to. There is also such a thing as doing that. It's also a legitimate, it's not ideal, but it's also legitimate. And then there's an opinion, I can't even give names, because it's not really clear, just talking to people who've seen this done by Gedolei Yisrael, exactly what I told you. You want to catch the Baal Kore, you catch him on the spot. Yeah. If you don't catch him on the spot, and he goes further, and he finishes the Aliyah, and the person makes the Bracha, that's it! It's over! The show is over! There's no going back. You made a mistake? Sunlu, you made a mistake! That's the way life goes. Not everything is perfect. You weren't yoyed to that word. You weren't yoyed to that word. So no, the world goes on.
Somebody told me a story that guy made a mistake about going in the Megillah.
Yeah. Well, that's already different. The Megillah is already more of a problem.
Wait. Yeah. You made a mistake in the Megillah. Well, you left out a word, and you finished. Everybody went home.
Yeah.
End of the story. It was about 15 people in the shul. He went back to everybody's houses.
Oh, my gosh.
Brought them back and repeated them.
That's also there are also different opinions on that matter.
Yes.
Okay, that's more chomer. If you're laying the Megillah and you make a mistake, it's more of a problem.
Yeah.
Let's say I heard a story. Someone they taped. They know they have a very good Baal Kore, a beautiful voice, a professional, puts on a show. They tape it. Listening to the tape later in the day on Purim, you hear the mistake. You know for a fact that it's a mistake.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're not yotze. It doesn't necessarily mean
you
that
read,
because
you can read the by yourself.
If the tzibur let you get by and no one corrected you, you can't say that they weren't yoytze. It's not so simple what he did to go back and matriach the elam to come back. It's not so simple. Okay, you have to learn every single word. Left, no question.
Yeah,
in the deal about
my mafatn and someone sitting next to them misheard the Baal Megillah. They weren't sure if he said the correct word. And they were the only two.
Yeah.
They went to the rabbi after. He says, well, you have to go listen to Megillah.
Again.
Again, yourself. Not the whole shul.
Not the whole shul. Just you. Because you,
Amar.
You could have said it.
Okay, let's go further. So this is a very interesting halacha. Let's go further. Let's read one more time. Very quickly. Make a mistake. It's okay. The next one who gets the Aliyah will only read from this section to Psukim. The Yikra Imo Od Gimel Psukim the Parasha Shnia. So you finish off those two Psukim that are left over, and then you read another three Psukim into the next Parasha. Uve Parasha She'en Bo Ela Shnei Psukim Mutu LaHafsek Sham. Let's say you're laning and you come to a Parasha, you already laned three Psukim. Okay, you've already laned at least three psukim, and now you want to lane another two psukim, and those two psukim are a complete parsha. For example, Shabbos. Uviyah Mashabbos, Shteich Vosim Reishon Atamim, Shnei Yostim Sols, Milch Velo Shemim, Nisko, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, Olas HaTamid V'Nisko. Those are two psukim. That's a whole parsha. So let's say that we don't stop there. On Shabbos, when you learn Parshas Pinchas, you do not stop there. You stop after Rosh Chodesh. You keep on learning. Rosh Chodesh Shechem. You keep on going. First comes the Tamid, right? You learn the Tamid. What is the Aliyah? What is the Aliyah on Shabbos? If I'm not mistaken, I don't remember. But let's say for whatever reason you want to lane the Bengal Sophis, whatever the situation is, you lane first the Parsha Satamit, and then you lane the Parsha of Shabbos. And you want to stop after the two Psukim of Shabbos before you lane the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh. Are you allowed to do that? Because when you stop after the Parsha of Shabbos, you're stopping after a parsha that has only two psukim. You have already lain more than three psukim because you lain already the entire parsha satamit. The parsha satamit has over three psukim, but now you're laying another parsha, the parsha of the Talmud, which has only two psukim. Are you allowed to stop after reading only two psukim?
Do that every month.
What?
Rosh Chodesh, you do that every month.
The answer is yes. Why? But it's only to Psukim, because it's a complete parsha. It's a self-contained parsha. The Im, the parsha in Belshim, Psukim, Mutter, Lehavsik Sham, the Im Yesh, another halacha, Im Yesh Piska, the Em Saposik, going Betchilas Parshas Pinchas. Let me get a Chumash to. That counts as two psukim. Okay, Pinchas. So we start off. Right. So here we have the pasuk Perek Chavav. It's in the first aliyah. So how does it go? We have a pasuk Vayehi Acharei Hamagefa, and then there's a break. There's a parsha psucha. Parsha means you have three words on the line, and the remainder of the line is blank, and then. The next line begins, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyim Lema. How many psukim does that count as? He says here two psukim. Oh, but it's only one pasuk. It's only one pasuk in the order of psukim, being that it's an unusual situation where you have a break, a parsha break in the middle of a pasuk, it counts b'diyevet as two psukim. That is the chiddush of the kitzur. Uve parsha she'en bo... Im yesh piska, the emsa pasuk, you're going betchilas parashas Pinchas, mutar l'sayim afilu b'pasuk asamuchla, you're allowed to be mesayim, even mutar l'sayim afilu b'pasuk asamuchla, you're allowed to stop in the pasuk asamuchla, meaning the beginning of the parak. Vayihi acharei hamagefa. What is he means that it's not three. I'm sorry. It's only one pasuk. I take it back. I'm sorry. How can you? It's only one pasuk. So we learned that you're not allowed to stop. You're not allowed to stop. So that's not. It's not the issue. The issue is we count it as one pasuk. The question is: are you allowed to stop before the pasuk vahi acharei hamagefa, because then you're only leaving over one pasuk. You're only leaving over one pasuk. We just concluded that you're not allowed to stop in a place where you have in front of you only in the middle of a parsha. In the middle of a parsha, you're not allowed to stop because if you only have two pasukim left. So here, maybe you would be inclined to believe that you're not allowed to stop Al dvar kozi vas nesim midyan achaysam hamukah b'yom hamagefa al dvar pa'ar. So I'm not sure what he means exactly. I'm a little bit confused. So he achaysam hamagefa v'yom Hashem ha'moshe v'yelazor ha'ben Aaron ha'koyin leymar b'posach ha'samuch lo. So where can you stop? Im yeish piska b'emsa posach k'goyin b'tchilas parash as penchas mutu l'saim afilu b'posach ha'samuch lo. I think what he means is you can stop at the end of the posach. We just concluded that you're not allowed to stop in only one pasuk into a parsha. If you begin a parsha, you must read at least three pasukim. So here, maybe you would say that you're not allowed to stop after the words V'el Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyin Lemar, because you're only one pasuk into the parsha. Correct? The answer is no. Since in the middle of this parsha there is a hefsik, there is a parsha break. So that parsha break counts for the end of the pasuk as well, and you're allowed to stop right then and there. I think that's what it means. Or maybe what he means to say is that we count it as, like you were saying, Mr. Merlis, as two psukim. Vayihi acharei hamagefa,
which is really the
third pasuk. I think maybe that's what he means to say. We count it as three psukim. Vayihi acharei hamagefa is one pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyin Lema, that's two psukim. Sues rosh kol adas bnei Yisrael mibnei Hashem shelamalu lebei Yisavosam kol Yisrael Yisrael, that's already three psukim. So that's what he means over here, that you have to stop the next pasuk, because we're going to count the parsha with the break as two psukim. So you really have here three psukim. Okay, let's see on the bottom. On the bottom we have Yudalit. Hakorei b'toira, person reads the Torah. Ein b'shail z'chuvas chasam sefer b'yemsa hatshuva sham shapi kores echad rotza upar piv levatel hakriya de nigunim shehema mebalbalim v'ikor ad kod kodoy de Hanegina Moseres Mimoshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem. He tells of a story over here that a person wanted, not because wanted to battle the trap. That when they lay, they should not lay with the trap. And the Chasam Sofer went to war with him. Because the trap, the nigun, the melody that you lay is a Moser Mimoshe Rabbeinu. Umikubelos Simei Avosinu HaKadoshim Ha'ich Yesh Likros HaTanam Ubalei Sivri Kabol Herichu Besoidem So he's telling us over here basically is that the nigun, he's telling us two yesoides, that the trop for all of the festivals is really the same. It's the same structure. It's the same idea, the Dargos Sevir and the Pazer and the Tlisho Gedol, the Shogedol, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's just a matter of tone, a happy tone, a sad tone, and that, but, and in addition to that, we have to be very well aware that the Nigunim have a tradition. It goes back, Mimoshe, back to Sinai, is a tradition, and Chas V'Shalom can a person, and a person can say that there's no inyan of learning with Trop, and you can just read the words without the trap. Now, of course, b'diyev, you have no choice. You're in the shul, there's no one knows how to lane, and you have a person that can just barely read the words. You have no choice. What are you going to do? But chas v'sham lechatchilu to go tell a person you do not need to lane with trap. You can just lane without trap. Interesting over here that he says that on Megillah Sasser it's called belev shalev soneach. That the nigun of Megillah Sasser is a happy nigun. Not everyone agrees with that. Many people say that the nigun of Megillas Esther is a sad nigun. It's something which borders on the nigun of Eicha. I don't know anything about music. The big experts in music tell us that the nigun of Megillas Esther is a very complicated melody. It's not happy and it's not sad.
Foreboding.
It's somewhere in what?
Foreboding. It's like something bad's going to happen.
Well, not it. Well.
At the beginning, it says
because Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. There are many similarities between Purim and Tisha B'Av. They're the only two times you don't say Tiskabel.
But it's hard to see it in the negative.
Yeah, well, we have to know.
Our frame of mind is not intuitive.
Okay, so it's definitely interesting. Now, by the way, there are special nigunim for MS Iyoiv, Mishlei and Tehillim.
Yes.
There's a different trop. Mm-hmm. There's a different trop. There are people that know the trop. They have tapes, so you can get the trop. The Sfaradim. There are different Nigunim, so that's also traditional. These are all things which come from Sinai and Chas V'Shalom to Levatel, the Nigunim, the trop. The most important thing about laning is to know where the Pasuk ends. A Soif Pasuk. Personally, there's a limited amount of time preparing the trop. You have to be very mock, but at least to prepare the Soif Pasuk, that is critical. If you mess up on the trap, it's not the end of the world. You never repeat a pasuk because you did not do the trap correctly. But you should be aware that by he mentions this the Mekubalim. He mentions the Mekubalim. Now, Pi Kabbalah, every nigun has significance, has meaning, and there are people. It's not common among us, but very big medaktikim, and people who are really into this, they will go back if they make a mistake on the trap. It goes without saying, if you make a mistake on the vowels, on the words, you say the wrong vowels. I mean, that's of course you're going to go back. But even if you make a mistake, you say a darga severe instead of a kadma viazla. Do you realize you're destroying the world? A kadma viazla.
That's a certain perfection.
Right. We don't. Right. We don't do that.
The phrasing will be wrong.
Oh, that's another issue. The phrasing, because some of the tamim are mishamshim, which means that it indicates the word is meant to be read together with the previous word, and sometimes you have a word which is like the beginning of a new thought. So that's, of course, that's also very important. But let's say if you don't make that mistake, you stay within the same category. It's just that you sing the wrong nigun. So, of course, in our circles, you will never, ever be told to go back and repeat.
Except for that guy.
What?
Someone points out after the Iliad that you made a mistake, you have to go to the beginning of the
column. No one's ever going to make you go back, even Vashas Maisa. I've never seen Vashas Maisa. Anyone correct someone? You said the wrong trub and repeat the words. But you should be aware that people that are really, really heavy duty into these things, they are swarmed. They tell you the reason why it says here Dargos Severe. What's the significance? When Yitzchak got married, I'll give you one quick example. When Yitzchak got married, Vayikach es Rivka, he took Rivka. So the trap is a Dargos Severe. Vayikach es Rivka. What does Darga Severe mean? A broken step, a broken ladder. That's what Darga means, a step. Severe means broken. Why is the trap, Vayikach es Rivka, Darga Severe? The Gemara says, Nechos Darga unesiv itisa. Person, when he gets married, you got to take a step down. Now, there are many interpretations as to what exactly that means. Simply mean one interpretation is a person is learning 24/7. He's in yeshiva. He's learning 18 hours a day. And when he gets married, it means he's going to go to work. He's only going to be learning 2 hours a day. How can he be mevatel Torah, go from 18 hours a day to go to work and only learn for an hour a day? Maybe not learn at all. Maybe he'll learn nothing. He'll be busy the whole day raising a family, taking his children to school and working. Gemara says, too bad. Nechos Darga, take a step down from your high spiritual status, unesivitasa, and get married. That's one interpretation of many. Yitzchak and Rivka is the ultimate zoo. They are the model. They are the model, the paradigm of Shidduchim. That's the parashas Chayisara. Vayikach Rivka, when he took a wife, the trap is a darga severe. It was a broken step. He took a step down to get married. That type of Jewish, you can say, they are svarim. They go through every single trap and they'll tell you the significance, the little trace in halacha or medrash or chazal, what the significance of these words are and how it relates to the trap. So if you are not saying, you're not singing the correct trap when you lane, you're really messing it up. You're rooting it. Now, you do what you can do. You do the best you can do. Not every Balkari, you can get it all right. But it's not something to be taken lightly. Let's go to Halacha Chaf Aleph. V'chein lo yaschil b'pachos negimol psukim. You may not begin an aliyah less than three psukim into the element into the parasha. L'yachah haschos haparasha. U'l'chein zesh shel l'fanav lo yisam b'pachos negimol psukim. And therefore the one that concluded before you shall not be messiah b'pachos negimol psukim. Like we said, l'yachah haschos haparasha. That's really repetition of what he said before. So that when you begin the aliyah, you'll always be starting at least three psukim into the aliyah. Chaf base. You have to always have kavana lahaskil tamei b'davar toiv li Yisrael. If it's bad for a non-Jew, it's okay. Terach was a non-Jew. Vayomos Terach b'choron. Terach is a non-Jew, so it's not so terrible that you conclude with a davar ra. Davar toiv li Yisrael. Sime b'davar toiv li Yisrael. V'chein lo yisime b'misha yisema Yisrael. Do not be misime davar with reference to a person that did something ra. Okay, let's do one more halacha. Chav Gimel im karu leacher rak beis psukim. Let's say you lane for one person lechad rak beis psukim two psukim uberach bracha acharoina, and then you make the bracha acharoina sarch lachser velikrois. So now this is an amazing halacha. You blow it.
You blew it.
Two psukim, and you make the bracha. Asher nosan lanu after two psukim. What do you do now?
Make a mistake. The oilam usually would say no.
They're not paying attention. Vivarich bracha. So what do you do? Sarich lachsa velikrois vivarich bracha lefanechol yacharecha. You got to do it again. You got to do over the aliyah.
Same psukim.
Lachsar v'likros v'yivarech brocha lifonech uliacharecha. V'kevan shalyach ha-brocha achroina havi hesach adas, al-kein tzorch lahasl gam baruchu. Not only do you have to repeat the brochas, you have to repeat the baruchu. Remember, this is not so when it comes to a person, you call a kohen in the middle. Remember what happened? We have halach when you call a person, and you say, when do we have halach when you don't say the baruchu? That was when you show the person the wrong place. So he does not repeat the baruch, he just repeats the bracha. But in this instance, since you already made the bracha acharona, it's called already to be a significant break from the beginning of the aliyah, and you have to do the aliyah all over again. You have to even say baruch. Yikra beis psukim shakar tchila, repeat the two psukim. V'oid pasuk achad imo, and one more pasuk. V'imkara zeus shlishi. If this person was the third aliyah, Srichim likrois oi psukim sheyiyu kulam dalav psukim. So you have to also fulfill that condition that the total number of psukim that you learned from this parasha should be at least 10 psukim. So if you are the third aliyah and the first two only read 3 psukim apiece, so now we need 4 psukim and you only read 2 psukim. So now we'll make the brach again and read over the psukim another 2 for the grand total of 4. Vimkara zos bekuna. Here we get to some more complex halachas. Let's try this very quickly. Vimkara zos bekoyin. Now, koyin is a problem. Why is the koyin a problem? One thing we have to walk away from the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, we are always concerned for the pigima of a koyin, but we're never concerned for the pigima of a Levi or a Yisrael. We don't want people to think that the person who got the aliyah was not a koyin, or there's some problem in his lineage. It's a very great concern of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's take that idea in mind and look how it applies to a situation where you read for the Kohen only two psukim. What would you normally do? You would have to read it again. Not so simple. So let's see why. This happened by a Kohen, so if we can salvage a situation, even not yet, call a Levi. The Kohen read two psukim. After he finished the bracha, we realize we made a big mistake. We only lay in 2 psukim. Okay, no problem. We can rectify it. The kohen will right away do it again. He'll make the brachas again. He'll say baruch. We'll make the brachas, and we'll lay in 3 psukim. But let's say the situation is worse because we've already called Yamoi the Levi, and the Levi already called Acharav v'nizkru Acharkach Oze Hadin Kainhu. Im Halevi Adayin Loi Berach Bracha Rishayna V'Av Shamar Baruch Hu Lo Havi Haschalas Abracha Ulechein Yachzor HaKoyin V'Yikro Gimel Pesukim B'Brachos Kamo Shekosavnu. If the Levi did not yet say Asher Bochar Banu Baruch Ato Hashem Lokeinu Melecholim Asher Bochar Banu, he didn't say Hashem's name, then we can go back, we can let the Kohen return and make the Brachos again, even though the Levi already said Baruch Hu. And the Kohen would have to say Baruch Hu again. V'Alevi Yam, the Levi should wait around, V'Yikra Achar Kach, and he'll get the second Aliyah. But V'Aval Imkvar Berach HaLevi, the Levi already made the Baruch Asher Asher. Bochar Banu Oz Yikru Im HaLevi Mimokom Shepotzak HaKohen. In this instance, you do not repeat the first 2 psukim. Why? If we repeat the first 2 psukim, people are going to suspect the Kohen was pogum.
Oz yikru im alevi mokum shapaska koin, im yikru halevi levi mashakra koin, yepagamla kohanim. Asher hema shamak, yemu shalevi hiskalikros pater, he's the one that started first. This is going to be a pagam for all the kohanim. They're going to, because what's going on over here? They're going to say, why are we calling the Levi first? And we're going to repeat the first 2 psukim. There's going to be a pegima not just for the kohen that got the first aliyah, more. There's going to be a pegima for all of the kohanim in shul. Because people are going to say, how come they called the Levi first? It must be all of these kohanim, they're not really kohanim. The achar Levi, after the Levi, yikru shnei Yisraelim. So now, he's saying something amazing. The first aliyah doesn't count for nothing. You need to have 3 aliyahs. The first aliyah you botched up. You call a kohen, and the kohen read 2 psukim. And the Levi already started to recite the brachas. So there's nothing we can do to salvage the first aliyah. And we have to read further. We have to read from continue where we left off. In order, there should not be a pegima for the kohen that was before. But the bottom line is, we have not lain 3 aliyahs with 3 psukim apiece. So we have no choice but on a Monday and a Thursday to give a 4th aliyah in order that we'll have at least from the 4 aliyahs, 3 aliyahs, which each one had at least 3 psukim. Let's say the same situation down by the Levi.
They gave the Kohen 3 psukim, and they gave the Levi by mistake 2 psukim. And the Yisrael already made the bracha asher bochar banu.
Yikru li ha-Yisrael elu beis psukim shakara levi.
So now we go back. There's no pigimo when it comes to a levi. So let the Yisrael repeat the 2 psukim that you read for the levi.
The oy pasik echad. And the yikru od Yisrael.
A 4th aliyah. So we should have 3 aliyahs that have 3 aliyahs, 3 apiece.
Acher l'sashlam gimel kuyim.
Vim lo hoya koyim beis hakneses. Let's say a new story. There was no koyim. There were no kohanim. There was only a Yisrael.
The karu Yisrael b'makayim lo. The era came shloy karu lo yelash shnei psukim.
They gave the first layer to a Yisrael, and they only laid for the first shol to psukim.
V'lo nizkar aliyach hashakar Yisrael sheni.
And then realized they made him second until they already called him a second Yisrael. They began the aliyah
uberach oz yaskil ha'Yisrael sheni mitchilas ha'sidra.
Then go back to the beginning of the parsha, because the first one that got the aliyah was not a kohen; he was a Yisrael. And if it's a Yisrael, there is never a concern for pigima. So then you can go back to the very beginning of the parsha and read over those 2 psukim and make sure you have another 2 aliyahs for a grand total of 3. Yeah?
Not so much the beginning of the parsha that you go back, but the beginning of the prior aliyah.
Correct, the prior aliyah.
Similar to the...
Exactly. Oz Yaskel Yisrael Hashanim Yitlis Apsidrav, Yisrael Harishon Yamtin Yikrav Achrav, and the first Yisrael shall wait around. The Yikrav Achrav, and we don't want to insult the first Yisrael, so we say we should give him the second aliyah. So that Yisrael is going to get a second aliyah, and it was the one that got the first aliyah that went to waste because it was only to psukim. We're giving now a Yisrael sheni, and then we go back and we give the first Yisrael another aliyah, and we make sure we read for him 3 psukim.
V'yachav yikru od Yisrael, another Yisrael, another Yisrael. Okay, one more halacha. Katan lo yihya hakore v'gam ein oyle Torah. Katan does not be the bal korei.
There are exceptions. There are definitely exceptions to this rule. B'shas ha'tzach ha'kodim can be balkare. And when is there an exception? When do you have this? This happens? Happens when you make a mistake in when is the bar mitzvah. Not so uncommon. When the boy prepares a whole year, and then a week before the bar mitzvah, they realize, you're not bar mitzvah yet. Your bar mitzvah is next week. Someone really messed up on the math in calculating when is your bar mitzvah parsha.
He
prepared to learn this parsha. And the invitations are in the mail. And the hall is booked. And the caterer has been paid. So what are you going to do now? People have made flights from all over the world to come participate. So you know what you do? You just be quiet. Don't tell anyone. And make the bar mitzvah. And let him lane. He's a katan. Who says a katan can't lane? Well, the kitzur says a katan can't lane. But he mentions that later on there are exceptions. B'shas hatchak a katan can lane. So the katan can lane, and the katan can get maftir. Get maftir, no problem. Why can he get maftir? No problem. And he can make a pshetel. Who's going to stop him? And everyone can say mazel tov, and no one has to know. That's the halacha. No one has to what?
Parsha Zoch,
they won't let it, even a real bar mitzvah boy can't learn Parsha Zoch, because Parsha Zoch, you need a person, a bar mitzvah, you know something, a bar mitzvah boy is not really a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy who's 13 years old is only 13 years old for Dinim Derabanan. Until he is 18 years old, or until he has a significant amount of pubic hair, which can be even if he's 15 years old, he's not considered to be a bar mitzvah boy min haTorah. We use 13 years in one day as just as a baseline for getting warmed up. But that's a very interesting one. This story has happened by Gedolei Yisrael. You think it happened only by people, even by big Gedolei Yisrael, there are stories where they made mistakes and they told their child to prepare the bar mitzvah parasha. And then they realized the last minute, wait a minute, you're not bar mitzvah, you're bar mitzvah next week. And everyone's here for the bar mitzvah. What you don't know is always good for you. Not always. Sometimes. A person who's not a Shomer Shabbos, can he get an aliyah? It says in the Shulchan Aruch, an ish kosher. It has to be an ish kosher. I don't know the answer. It's a tough question.
Depends how much money he has.
Is it Lachal Shabbos
b'Farhesia? Yeah, that's tough.
He should not get an aliyah. If he's a Shomer Shabbos in public, but he doesn't know all the halachas, and when he goes home, he probably turns on the lights out of ignorance. But when he comes to shul, he behaves, and he doesn't drive to shul, he doesn't turn on, and he doesn't do anything in public.
Definitely not a Baal Tefillah, but definitely.
Baal Tefillah, sometimes they also let them be Baal Tefillah. It all depends on your audience, on your crowd.
RFE Baal, Baal Tefillah.